Hello everyone, this is Dark Journalist with a brief excerpt here from my latest documentary on X-Protect, the aerospace wing of the covert force that protects the UFO file and the X-technology that resides within. Back in 1963, a president saw the dangers that could arise from this unchecked power structure and would give his life fighting it. Lee Harvey Oswald, the accused assassin of President John F. Kennedy, was portrayed by the FBI as a radical Marxist who hated America and got a lucky chance to shoot the president when JFK's motorcade went by the window of Oswald's new job at the Texas School Book Depository. The Warren Commission, a team of political insiders put together by President Johnson, who assumed the presidency when JFK was assassinated, was told their job was to shut down any questions about the involvement of the CIA or any possible conspiracies. Former CIA Director Alan Dulles, who had been fired by JFK, was brought in to oversee all intelligence connections to the case and suppress them. What was the government so worried about? After all, Oswald had been eliminated only 2 days after being accused of shooting JFK by Jack Ruby, a strip club owner linked to organized crime. During the brief time he was in custody, Oswald claimed he was innocent and was being set up as a patsy.
I don't know what this is all about. I work in that building.
Were you in the building at the time?
Naturally, if I work in that building, yes, sir.
Back up, man.
You're doing the president?
No, they're taking me in because of the fact that I'm in the Soviet Union. I'm just a patsy.
The problem for the Warren Commission was Oswald's involvement with the CIA and the highly secretive X-Protect wing that operated in the interest of intelligence and aerospace groups to protect the exotic X-technology in the UFO file. The first issue was, if Oswald were to be portrayed as a communist, they would need to explain his work during the summer before the assassination for the right-wing former head of the Chicago FBI office, Guy Bannister, in New Orleans. Bannister's office at 544 Camp Street was a focal point of anti-communist activity, and he was often referred to as to the right of Attila the Hun. How would a communist-leaning leftist who had lived in the Soviet Union find himself working with Bannister? When leaflets that Oswald had been handing out were discovered with Bannister's address on them, more witnesses came forward to say Oswald had worked for Bannister. A series of strange deaths followed these revelations, and these connections were kept out of official investigations. The New Orleans District Attorney, Jim Garrison, had come across these curious links when putting his case together against Clay Shaw in the JFK assassination. He knew Bannister from his FBI days and began to realize that Oswald had been set up.
Lee Harvey Oswald killed no one at all. So the point is, it wasn't a question of being alone or with anybody. He had nothing to do with the assassination.
Garrison believed that Bannister was the key to unraveling what was really behind the JFK assassination. Bannister's background in the FBI reveals the curious fact that he originated the X-Files, creating the name identification for UFO cases that he investigated for the Bureau. When Bannister died shortly before the Warren Commission was released in 1964, federal officials destroyed all of his files. However, a small set of file names were preserved by his wife, who eventually gave them to a local library. The file names give us an idea of what Bannister and his private detective agency front was really pursuing. One bombshell item of interest listed below the JFK assassination was Dinosaur Space Warcraft. This project, officially the Boeing X-20 Dinosaur, was originally conceived in Nazi Germany. One of the paperclip scientists brought over to create an X-series of space planes was Walter Dornberger, who was a general in the SS and Wernher von Braun's superior in the Nazi rocket program. Dornberger was originally slated to face death at Nuremberg for crimes against humanity. By using inhumane methods on his slave labor population, building the V-2 rockets. After his release and move to America, Dornberger had landed the post of vice president of Bell Helicopter in 1952. Dornberger's understudy at Bell was a promising engineer named Michael Payne, the son of the inventor of the Bell helicopter, Arthur Young. Payne and his wife, Ruth, hosted Lee Harvey Oswald and his Russian wife, Marina, at their home in Irving, Texas. Most of the incriminating evidence against Oswald, including the controversial backyard photo supposedly showing Oswald holding a rifle and a pistol, along with communist literature, which photo experts have repeatedly shown were tampered with, seemed to indicate the plan for making Oswald the patsy started very early. On November 23, 1963, the day after the assassination, Irving Police Captain Paul Barger reported that a telephone repairman had overheard a male voice, presumably Michael Payne, speaking from the Payne household in a telephone call, saying he did not feel Oswald was responsible, and he further stated, quote, "We both know who is responsible," unquote. Researchers later claimed the info had come from an FBI wiretap of Payne's phone, but he was never questioned about it. Dornberger was at the very core of the X technology program, and his greatest achievement, the X-15, still holds the record for a manned space plane set 60 years ago. The presence of Oswald at the home of Ruth and Michael Payne, with their deep connections to Dornberger, shows the tentacles of aerospace interests reaching into the major assassinations. Far from being the drifter and loser that the Warren Commission had portrayed him as, Oswald had actually been stationed at a high security position in Atsugi in Japan during the development of the secret U-2 plane. In the summer before the JFK assassination, Oswald, while working at the Riley Coffee Company, which was a CIA front, was telling his fellow employees that he was going to work for NASA, which was why he was moving to Texas. When New Orleans DA Jim Garrison inquired about Oswald's fellow employees at Riley, he learned the odd fact that most of his co-workers had gone on to jobs at NASA or other aerospace companies. During the height of Garrison's investigation into Clay Shaw and the JFK assassination, he got in touch with Warren Hinkle, the publisher of Rampart's magazine, telling him it was urgent that they speak immediately. Hinkle's account follows. "This is urgent," Jim Garrison said. "Can you take this in the mailroom?" They'd never think to tap the mailroom extension. "Garrison began talking when I picked up the mailroom extension. This is risky, but I have little choice. It is imperative that I get this information to you now. Important new evidence has surfaced. Those Texas oil men do not appear to be involved in President Kennedy's murder in the way we first thought. It was the military-industrial complex that put up the money for the assassination. But as far as we can tell, the conspiracy was limited to the aerospace wing. I've got the names of three companies and their employees who were involved in setting up the president's murder. Do you have a pencil?" I wrote down the names of the three defense contractors. Garrison identified them as being Lockheed, Boeing, and General Dynamics, and the names of those executives in their employ, whom the district attorney said had been instrumental in the murder of Jack Kennedy. I said that I had everything down, and Garrison said a hurried goodbye. "It's poor security procedure to use the phone, but the situation warrants the risk. I wanted you to have this in case something happens." The investigation trail led Garrison directly to the aerospace companies developing the X technology and the UFO file. His arrest of Clay Shaw was a shot across the bow. It would eventually be revealed that Shaw had been a CIA asset and had a murky trail of associates, including David Ferry, a CIA pilot who had worked closely with Guy Bannister. Ferry was also an expert hypnotist. Garrison discovered that Ferry had been Oswald's squad commander in the Civil Air Patrol when Oswald was only 15. The grooming of Oswald by Ferry and intelligence services had paid off when he was selected as the patsy for the JFK assassination. Garrison was planning to bring Ferry to trial for conspiracy. Instead, Ferry died mysteriously and left behind typed suicide notes. Garrison's case against Clay Shaw collapsed. The CIA had worked overtime behind the scenes to undermine it, according to Victor Marchetti, an assistant to CIA Director Richard Helms. The media would also be used to demonize Garrison's efforts at revealing the truth. When Garrison's Shaw trial was over in 1969, a mysterious document appeared, leaked by an unknown insider who called himself William Torbett. The document revealed a previously unknown government division called Defense Industrial Security Command, or DISC, which was described as a NASA security division, headed by former Nazi rocket scientist Wernher von Braun. The Torbett document identified the following individuals as DISC agents: Guy Bannister, Clay Shaw, David Ferry, Lee Harvey Oswald, and Lewis Mortimer Bloomfield. Bloomfield had headed up Permandex, a CIA front world trade company that specialized in assassinations and was based in Montreal. The earliest blueprint for a group linked directly to X-Protect had been revealed in the mysterious Torbett document. President Kennedy's desire to open the UFO file and share it with the Russian government for purposes of a joint moon mission, as demonstrated in National Security Action Memorandum 271 and his November 12th memo to the director of the CIA. Kennedy had struggled his entire presidency with the out-of-control intelligence community to reassert presidential power over their unconstitutional actions. He mused to aides in private that he was going to smash the CIA into 1,000 pieces and scatter it to the wind. A major piece of this effort was reasserting control over the UFO file that had been lost at the end of the Eisenhower administration. E. Howard Hunt, the CIA super spy, best known as the coordinator of the Watergate burglars, revealed to his close friend and attorney for the Watergate 7, Douglas Caddy, the nature of the desperate struggle between JFK and the CIA over the UFO file. Caddy revealed to me what Hunt told him in this interview.
And then we walked out, and on the street there, I thought, well, this is the last time I see Howard. I'm going to make one more stab, okay, and seeing if I can get something here, you know. And I said, well, Howard, why was John Kennedy assassinated? He said, why was John Kennedy assassinated? He said, John Kennedy was assassinated because he was about to give our most vital secret to the Soviets. About to give our most vital secret to the Soviets. And I was stunned by that. I mean, John Kennedy, our president, Soviets, and I never even heard about such a thing. And I said, well, what was that? And at that point, he leaned forward and looked right in my eyes, directed my eyes, and he said, the alien presence, and reached out and shook my hand, and then turned and walked away. And that was the last time I saw Howard Hunt. It didn't mean that much to me. I knew it was important, but it did not mean that much. There's no way I could, in the alien presence, I was not really familiar with that either, you know. But I remembered it. I knew it was important.
This breakthrough revelation from a top CIA officer to his friend in private gives us the real mandate of Exprotect. Any official, even the president, who wants to reveal the true nature of the X technology in the UFO file must be eliminated. They've used this protocol for decades, but their attempts to conceal their actions have at times taken an unexpected turn. George Joannetis had been a pivotal figure in CIA psychological warfare operations during his long career. His work was so secret that it's an accident of history that we even know his name. Journalist Jefferson Morley uncovered it when looking at an intelligence front group called the DRE back in the Kennedy era, when Joannetis created the Oswald Project, the ultimate psychological warfare operation. When the House Select Committee on Assassinations convened in the late 70s, the CIA, at risk of exposure, turned to their best psychological warfare officer, Joannetis, to keep their role in the assassination hidden. For his efforts, Joannetis was awarded the Career Achievement Medal. His records have never been released. The CIA has spent millions in legal fees concealing his past. The man who gave Joannetis his medal may give us a clue to the role he played in relation to Exprotect. Bobby Ray Inman, then the deputy CIA director, had a career that was just as mysterious as Joannetis was. He was one of the few government officials who discussed UFOs openly. He went on record saying that recovered vehicles or alien craft were in the possession of the government. He even claimed to have some expertise in the area of UFOs after he retired. He said he was aware of a program to indoctrinate the public about UFOs and was quoted as saying the following, that he, quote, understood who was behind the technology in the crafts, unquote. These are major statements by someone who served in such positions as NSA director and deputy director of the CIA. Inman would eventually wind up on the board of XE, a mercenary outfit used in covert warfare. When we look at Joannetis and Inman, we can see the impact of Exprotect on our policies that lead us right up to the present, with battles over the UFO file continuing and spilling over into private enterprise. The ex-steganography of SpaceX and Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin show that these groups are ready to unleash what has been in development since Hughes Aerospace started down the road of immense secrecy. The Trump administration creation of the Space Force as the sixth branch of the armed services is also an attempt to pull the X technology back under presidential control. Exprotect has thrived in secrecy and have utilized the X technology in the UFO file at the public's expense for decades. The world at large has not had access to the UFO information that's been withheld by a vast power structure sitting in the strange partnership between the CIA on one side and the aerospace defense contractors on the other. It is in fact a covert government that has usurped the public overt government and put in place the perfect storm of a global control grid that's being built with no oversight, but lots of unlimited dollars thanks to the missing trillions at the Pentagon, HUD, and NASA. X-Protect has been there every step of the way, and now we hear from the same partnership between the CIA and the aerospace defense companies that UFOs are a threat and must be added to an already bloated defense budget. And the New York Times runs stories with CIA officials claiming they will give the public UFO disclosure. That soft disclosure means that X-Protect is in a position to roll out the X technology, which means the world is a more dangerous place than ever before. As we remember those who have fallen while fighting X-Protect, we must remember we can move our culture forward by destroying the wall of secrecy erected by these covert organizations. The only way we can do it is to expose X-Protect and the lethal means that they've used to control every aspect of society. In the final analysis, if we are to understand the power structure on planet Earth, we must understand X-Protect and hold them accountable for their actions. The whole world is watching and waiting. I'm Dark Journalist. Thank you for joining me, and I look forward to seeing you soon.